So before we get to the homily proper, I just want to briefly address the COVID-19 crisis. God is in control of this whole situation. He always brings good out of evil, and he's speaking to us right now. I hope we're all listening. We don't want to just manage this crisis. We want to hear, Lord, what are you saying to us through this? So I see this as a great opportunity to grow in faith, to reset our priorities, to love like Jesus. And we should start asking other people questions. We want to offer them hope. We want to offer them truth. We want to help our city. There is fear in some people. We don't want to let it dominate our lives. We want to address it without letting it take over. So please take due diligence in terms of precautions, but keep your heart set on the Father's goals. So don't act according to fear, act according to faith and reason. For our parish, what we're doing is we're canceling the non-essentials, that shroud exhibit that we're going to have a few weeks canceled, Liturgy of the Word for Children at the other masses is canceled. We're going to open the church during the day. Let's say some people don't want to pray in the close, small confines of the chapel in case someone coughs. So you can come in here during the day and just pray all day long here in the church. Obviously, you all know we've got this now 3 p.m. Mass. We'll see if we continue it for the near future, 7 p.m. I also want to say God bless you all for coming. I've been really encouraged by the signs of faith. Everyone who's coming this weekend is coming out of love for Jesus, and it's really quite beautiful. So God bless all of you. I'll make an announcement about communion later. So keep in mind, God is first in our life. He's the author of all things, even in the midst of this crisis. Okay. So as I mentioned last week, what I'm encouraging the whole parish to do this weekend is come together as a big parish family and start coming to Mass on time and not leaving Mass early. And I know how hard it is to arrive on time to anything. I was taught by my parents to be late. That's good family tradition. So we'd always wake up late, rush to get ready, rush out the door. Dad would drive with skill to get wherever we had to go, and it would still be late. So I became very good at apologizing. It's a good skill. So it's been such a lifelong problem for me. But I'd say for the past 2 years, I am now confessing it. If I'm a minute late to start Mass, if I'm a minute late to hear confessions, I bring it to confession for myself. Something beautiful happened to my family in the year 2005. The night before I was ordained a deacon, I said to my family, can we please not be late tomorrow for the ordination? You only get ordained a deacon once. And it was a miracle. I arrived an hour before Mass at the cathedral. My family arrived 45 minutes early. And what it taught me is that when things are really important, we make changes and we can actually do it. We can get there early. So I've told you before, the church teaches that Mass is a wedding banquet. Now, this is actually really providential because people are going to start asking you, why are you coming to Mass during this COVID-19 crisis? It's not that important, right? And so you want to explain to them, well, for us Catholics, Mass is a wedding banquet. We don't want to miss the wedding. So use that symbol of what Mass really is. When we look at today's gospel about the Samaritan woman, we're going to look at four ideas to see how God wants to marry us. God wants to marry humanity, and that leads to a wedding banquet. So idea number one, pay attention to the well. The text says, Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. The scripture scholar, Dr. Brant Petrie, says, in the Bible, wells are where men meet their future brides. And so when I read that, I was thinking, of course, oh yeah, I remember, Moses met his future wife, Zipporah, at a well. But I didn't know that Isaac, his relationship with Rebecca, his future wife, started at a well. And Jacob met his future wife, Rachel, at a well. So in biblical times, guys did not go to the bars looking for their future wives. They went to the local well. Number two, what's called living water, listen to where it says living water. After Jesus asks for a drink, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Living water is a bridal gift. So just like today, if you have a single man, if he gives a gift to a single woman, that's a sign that he's interested in her. And if a guy, just before engagement, before the proposal, he gives the engagement ring, it's a gift to get ready for the wedding. And so living water has bridal and marriage connotation. So the first meaning of living water means a spring, just water that's flowing. But when a bride got ready for her wedding, she would wash herself before the wedding in what's called living water. And whenever someone would purify themselves for worship, cleanse themselves of sin, they would do it in living water. Number three, husband language. Right after the dialogue about living water, Jesus says, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." So all scripture scholars point out that this woman is a representative of her whole people, the Samaritans. And God wants to marry this people, the Samaritans. Now, how do we know this? How do we know she's a representative of the whole people? 700 years before this event took place, God told the prophet Hosea, "Marry a prostitute," because he said, "I want you to marry someone who's unfaithful to you, just as I've married the people of Israel and they're unfaithful to me." So there's already in the Old Testament a few examples of a person representing the entire people. And then it says, how many husbands does she have? Five. Well, it says in the Old Testament that the Samaritans worshipped five false male gods. Five false male gods. Okay, that's a nice coincidence. And then it also says in the Old Testament that they were still at the same time trying to worship the one true God, the Lord. And that's why Jesus at the very end, he says, "And the one you have now is not your husband." So you're kind of worshiping him, but not really. And number four, where do you worship? Like, what's the location? The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." So this woman thinks that the Samaritan people have to worship God on what's called Mount Gerizim. Okay, but the Jewish people say you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus is saying that there is a time when you're going to worship God anywhere. So when's this hour? Jesus says the hour is coming. When is the hour? It's the hour when the bridegroom gives the gift to the bride. And when does that happen? On the cross, in this exact gospel, when Jesus is dying, and after he dies, one of the soldiers pierces his side with a lance. And you remember what comes out of it? Remember what it says? Blood and water. The water, the living water. That's the gift. So that's a point when the bridegroom gives his whole life for his bride. And we, in our Catholic theology, always see Mass as a representation of what happened on Calvary. We believe that this is making present again what happened 2,000 years ago. So when we have a Mass, we have the bridegroom giving himself for the bride. So 2 weeks ago, we started this season in our church called Loving the Liturgy. We want to learn more about the Mass. And what I want you all to think about today is Mass is a wedding banquet. And you want to start looking at this marriage symbolism. And this marriage symbolism is so important that the priest has to be male. So one of the reasons why only men can become priests is because of marriage symbolism. Now you might be thinking, what? Really? Is that important? Come on. Yeah, it actually is that important. Because all through the Bible, there's marriage. God wants to marry the people, and Jesus marries the church. And here in the gospel today, we've got four examples of this marriage symbolism. So it is that important. Now, this is also why our servers are male here. Now, it's not absolutely necessary. It's not. It's what we call the argument from fittingness. When you look here in this area of the church called the sanctuary, it's all men. Why? Marriage symbolism. Okay, so a good logical next question is, hang on. If this is the bridegroom, why are there men and women over where you are? And what's the answer? And the answer is because every human soul in relationship to God is feminine, meaning we receive from God. So when I don't celebrate Mass, I sit where you sit. When I was in Rome at St. Peter's, and only the cardinals are allowed to celebrate with Pope Benedict. That's a custom. So when I'd be at St. Peter's for Christmas Mass, I would sit in the pews where you are. I wouldn't be celebrating Mass, so I'm not taking the role of the bridegroom at that point. And so I would receive the body of Christ, just like all of you. I'd be receiving the bridegroom because my soul in relationship to God is feminine. And so when you hear the priest say during Mass, "This is my body, which will be given up for you," you're supposed to hear marriage. You're supposed to hear the marriage imagery during that time. And so we come to a question. The question is, if the Mass is a wedding, would you be late for a wedding? Well, I hope not. The answer is you shouldn't be. Maybe some of you would be. But the point is we shouldn't be. And would you leave a wedding early? Well, we shouldn't. Because being on time, staying till the end, is a sign of respect for other people. It's a sign of self-control. Really critical. For us adults, that we show our children, this is the most important thing we do. We're on time for work, school, sports, and we want to be on time for Mass so that we communicate. This is the most important thing we do. Now, I'm not talking about any parents with young children. Who am I talking about? I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to the adults here without the young children because we can control it. I've told you before, I've struggled my whole life with being late. And sometimes I've been late to start Mass. And some of you, very kind, you're very compassionate, you say, "Oh, that's okay, Father Justin. We know you're a priest, you're so busy. But you know what? You're actually enabling me. You're not helping me. I don't want to make any more excuses. And I don't want you to be nice to me anymore, okay? So no more excuses. I want to be challenged to be better." Okay. Now, this is our action goal for the whole church from now on. We're all going to arrive before Mass starts. And we're going to stay until the final hymn is over. Now, during Lent and today, because we have no music, we'll just process out. And once we're done, that's the end of Mass. And part of this, what I want to communicate to the whole congregation is, I don't see anyone there today. Actually, I see people, hi, at the back. But what I want to challenge people generally is, from now on, unless you have young children that are crying, we want to invite you into the wedding, closer to the wedding. Now, because sometimes it's a bit of a Catholic custom, I'm going to hang out in the back of the church, even when there are seats available. But what does that say? I'm inviting you to a wedding. Let's say you're my best friend. I'm inviting you to my wedding, and you're thinking, "I'm just going to hang out at the back, and there are seats available." What does that say? Think about the sign value. What does it communicate? So we have to be more attentive to what our actions communicate. Now, let's say we arrive late for Mass. What do we do? Do we disturb people? You're not disturbing anyone. Let's say we arrive late for Mass. Just come in at the right moment. And if ever someone comes in late and sits next to you, don't give them that dirty look. No, I'm so happy. I love it when people sit next to me. I'm so happy to see them. So it's not a disruption. We want you to be part of the wedding. Now, for the last week, we counted how many people were late for the masses. Now, I know none of you are part of the 12 p.m. crowd. I know that. But it really gives us evidence what's really going on in our parish family. So again, let's remind ourselves of the goal. Starting next week, from now on, we're all going to arrive early. And I'm challenging our servers who are so kind today. These young men already served a Mass. They've come for a second Mass to serve all of you. Going to receive Holy Communion twice. God bless them. The choir, when they're here, the lectors, we're all going to be ready. I'm going to be ready 5 minutes before Mass starts, because we're going to improve the way we do it. Now, let's say next week, you try your best and you're still late. Hey, give yourself a pat on the back. Why? Because you tried your best. Because part of becoming a saint is trying your best. That's what we're always aspiring for. We're aspiring to become saints. So try your best. I think if a lot of you are the kind of people, you're always early, you're never late for anything, God bless you. So pray for the rest of us who are struggling. Next week, when your phone, let's say you all choose to come to the 3 p.m. Mass. Next week, when your phone says 3 p.m., you want to be in the church, in the pew. Now, we love hospitality here, so as part of our hospitality effort, we're going to have one of the greeters at the front door of the church with a whistle. And when he or she sees someone running down the street, looking at their phone, 10 seconds to go, they're going to run into the church, slide in, and then the guy's going to say, "Safe." So if we come in and we're late, don't stand in the foyer. Come on in. Come and join us. Of course, unless we have young children, we're trying to be respectful for other people. But once the children hit a certain age, come on in. Help them come closer to the wedding. And we're not going to leave from now on. We're not going to leave early. Of course, if we have a legitimate reason, you got to get to work. Yeah, that makes total sense. But usually in the past, at all the masses, the back three rows of the church, they empty out early. And sometimes people have said, "Father, it's just such a long time getting out of the parking lot." Really? So when anyone gives me like a reason like that, I quote Jesus to them. Jesus, who said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, too bad." Just kidding. So we're a parish family, and we usually only see each other once a week. So it's nice when we stay around together, because we love to see each other. And good families, healthy families, spend time with each other, and they talk. So it's only going to get better. This is really wonderful. Don't get discouraged. Years ago, one of you criticized me for being late, and that helped me grow. So thank you. And at the same time, years ago, I asked a mother why she was always late. She got mad at me because I didn't understand her motherly duties. But then I said, "Well, could you start those motherly duties just earlier?" And she brushed it off at first, but then she realized that made sense. And so that's good advice for all of us. Start those duties earlier. From now on, do your best. Mass is not merely an obligation. It's a joy because it's a wedding. Because Jesus came to marry us.